We're now going to have our Bible reading, and Manjot's going to bring that for us.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were gathered again indoors and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles, which are not written down in this book, but these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, and that you, through your faith in him, may have life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. How wonderful to be together like this morning across the mystery of the internet. This morning's service this sermon is entitled "Jesus Appears." And let's spend time together now listening to what God is wanting to say to us. One of the purposes of John's Gospel was to strengthen the faithful. And my prayer this morning is that our faith will feel reinforced and strengthened by looking at this passage together. What a week. Sometimes our weeks are pretty similar and predictable. And then we may have a week that we are thankful to get to the end of. Well, as we look back at the context of this passage, the disciples have certainly had a roller coaster of a week. They are told to borrow a donkey for Jesus to enter Jerusalem. And then as they're walking into the city, there are crowds greeting them like celebrities. That must have felt absolutely amazing, like being on the winning side. Then there is a great meal together. Gosh, how many of us are longing to share a meal with friends and family again? But then things start to turn. Their companion and friend, Judas, does the most dastardly of deeds and gives up their leader. I'm sure we've all had negative experience of when friends treat us badly. We know how that feels. Well, just imagine how betrayed all the disciples are feeling now. They then get to look on as Jesus is arrested. They watch as he is tried and convicted and put to death. What a week. All their emotions, all their thoughts swirling around. The grief, the anger, the disbelief, the doubt, the sorrow, the disappointment, we can but imagine. But this passage also shows us how much fear they are in too, the night of Easter Sunday, just a few days after Jesus was crucified. We find the disciples in a locked room for fear of the Jews. They were absolutely petrified. And then the unthinkable happens. Jesus appears. He doesn't come through the door. John clearly tells us the door is locked. It says he appeared and came and stood among them. I'm absolutely sure John includes this detail as he wants us to be really clear that Jesus really did die and really came back to life. Jesus came back to life and his resurrection body was different. If Jesus had knocked on the door and came through, it doesn't help us to believe that he has a different type of body, a resurrection body. Our physical bodies don't just appear in rooms. The world we live in operates in dimensions of time and space. And Jesus breaks the rules of our dimension. And maybe the scientists are right. And there are more dimensions than we see. And then he greets them with a really ordinary, usual greeting. Peace be with you. This is the same as someone saying, good morning. Now then, hi. So here we have Jesus saying, peace be with you. Peace to these frightened, anxious friends of his who've just seen their friend murdered. And now they are petrified for their own lives. This reminds me of the phrase, calm down. As a teacher, I've had training on how saying calm down does not help or bring calm to an angry child or an upset person. But Jesus says peace. He says something really normal in an extraordinary situation. But it has two meanings. A normal greeting, and then layered in is the idea that he is bringing in peace. Jesus, the bringer of shalom. He shows them his wounds and his scars, and he says, peace, shalom be with you again. And this time, we are told that the disciples rejoice. They needed a bit of time and proof that what they were seeing was real, and this really was Jesus. When Jesus appears to us, when we are aware of his presence, when we recognize he is with us, we experience joy. And to have shalom is to experience life at its best under the hand of God. True well-being in all its fullness. This is shalom. The resurrection brings the peace of God to the believer. This is the fulfillment of Christ's earlier promise that his followers will have tranquility and harmony and security in a troubled world. How much do we need to hear that today and receive that very same peace? We turn the news on and we are surrounded by a troubled world. Some of us may have troubled homes. Our lives might be in turmoil. In the midst of our situations, Jesus is still the bringer of our peace. Peace be with us. Peace be upon us. Peace, I pray, be in each of our lives. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The mission continues. In our household, we have just watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy again over the last week. What else is there to do? But I remember when the films first came out, watching one and then having to wait what seemed like an age, a whole year, before we could see the rest of the story. To be continued. The agony of waiting. Well, here we have to be continued. The disciples are to carry on what Jesus started. They are the next episode. And here we see that mission is to have the same importance for the Christian community as it did for Jesus. Jesus was sent by God, and now he becomes the sender of the disciples. It's a continuation of his mission, not a different mission. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus is wounded and scarred, the cost of his mission, the self-sacrifice he made, and he was recognized by his scars. How much does our hurting generation need to meet the scarred and wounded Jesus? But Jesus resourced them for his mission, for their mission. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathes the Ruach of God, the Pneuma. This verse connects the disciples with all that has passed. He shows them that they are the next part of the same story, the part of the story where God reaches down. God has always reached out to us. It's the same God who breathed life into Adam, the same God who breathed life into the dry bones in Ezekiel. And now Jesus breathes on the disciples, the Ruach, the Pneuma, the breath of life, the assurance that it is God who creates, God who redeems, and God who empowers. He emboldens and sustains all living things. Jesus was connecting them to their history, but showing them what was to come and preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, preparing them to receive. But the mission didn't stop with the disciples. We have a part in that same mission. We have a part to play in the next episode. With every breath we take, it reminds us that we have life in all its fullness because of God. We have peace. Jesus is with us. He has called us and commissioned us, and he has left his Spirit with us. Now let's think about Thomas for a moment. What do we know about him? Most of us are probably familiar with the phrase "doubting Thomas." Poor chap, to be remembered for this is a bit unfair. Thomas, also known as Didymus, is mentioned in John 11. Lazarus is dying in Bethany, and it's Thomas who is prepared to go to Bethany and die with him if need be. Then again, in John 14, Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." But it's Thomas who says, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" It sounds to me like Thomas asked the questions the other disciples were thinking, but didn't have the courage to ask. Thomas has courage, but a bit of realism with his faith. So in John 20, all the disciples are in a locked room apart from Thomas when Jesus appears. And when Thomas comes back, he's told what has happened. But he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." Where was Thomas? Why was he not with the disciples when Jesus appeared? Was he not staying with them? Had he popped out on an errand? We have no idea, and we are not told. Can you imagine the whole of the next week? "You should have been here, Thomas. You should have been here when he appeared." Poor Thomas. Faith is not always straightforward. There are times when we might battle with unbelief. Sometimes situations and circumstances burst into our lives and block the reality of our faith. That's okay. This passage shows us that to doubt is not a sin. Then Jesus appears again a week later. A whole week later, Thomas has had to endure. "You should have been here." The doors are still locked. The disciples are still frightened, even though Jesus brought them peace. And again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." He doesn't wait for Thomas to ask. He knows what Thomas had said to the disciples a week ago, even though Jesus wasn't there, and Jesus knows what he needs. Isn't that amazing? Jesus knew what Thomas needed before Thomas asked him. Jesus knows what we need before we ask him. Thomas had to wait, but his needs were met. We might have to wait, but Jesus meets us in our doubts. This passage shows us that to have a crisis of faith is okay. But when Jesus does appear to us, it's our responsibility to respond to him. Thomas came through his doubts. He played a significant part in the church and that was established in Jerusalem. And we even believe he entered the gospel as far as India. The doubter became the firm believer and took his part in the mission. All through John 20, Jesus meets people and reveals himself to the disciple who reached the tomb first, to Mary who was outside the tomb, to the petrified disciples in the locked room, to Thomas that week later. Jesus appeared. Sometimes we might feel we're behind the curve, that other people seem to get reassurance from Jesus before us. But John 20 shows us that Jesus meets our needs when we are having a crisis of faith. And Thomas's response in verse 28 is a challenge to all of us. He shows amazing spiritual insight when he says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas recognized Jesus as his Lord, one who he would submit to and follow. And he recognized him as his God, a God who died that he might live, a God who took away his sin so that he might experience that relationship with God forever. So after our moments of crisis, let our response also be, "My Lord, my God." In our difficult weeks, may we experience peace that is offered to us. May we continue the mission and run with the baton, the race that began all those many years ago, as we are also sent to tell others that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and in him we have life. May we access the resources offered to us that we need to continue that mission that God has for us. May we know that Jesus breathes into us, that his Holy Spirit lives in us, empowers us, and emboldens us. And in our moments of crisis, may we trust and know that Jesus will appear as we acknowledge him and say, "My Lord and my God." Amen.